1 Thessalonians and chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And find verse number 14. I'm going to read down through verse number 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. Lord, I pray God now that you would empty me of myself, and Lord, fill me with your spirit. And Lord, I pray God that everything that's said and done this morning would bring honor and glory to you. Lord, I know that I am nothing. Lord, I know that I can do nothing without your help, Lord. And I know these people did not come to hear from Daryl Serino. I know that they came to hear from you, Lord. And I pray, God, that this morning you would do a work in our hearts. Draw us closer to you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanksgiving Day is one day that I look forward to every year. And if you're like me, you enjoy time on Thanksgiving Day spent in fellowship with family and friends, and not to mention food and football, amen? All of these things together make Thanksgiving a special day, a day to be enjoyed, a day to be looked forward to every year. But this Thanksgiving, I want to encourage you that while you're enjoying the food and the football and the fellowship, and in that order, usually, and then more food and football and then more food, let's not forget to give thanks. Amen. Thanksgiving Day of all days should rekindle in us the kind of Christ-centered gratitude that our Lord demands from our lips and lives, not just one day of the year, but every day of the year. But you know, like many aspects of life, being thankful is a choice that we must make. Because you know, it's not going to come to us automatically. It's not in our nature to be thankful. Amen. It's seldom is in our nature to just be a thankful person. Our flesh is against God, and in our flesh we tend to be unthankful. And that's why we have to work hard at being thankful. We have to decide that we are going to have an attitude of gratitude. A few years ago, the comic strip Peanuts pictured Charlie Brown bringing out Snoopy's dinner on Thanksgiving Day. And it was just his usual bowl of dog food. And Snoopy looked down at that usual, ordinary bowl of dog food, and he said, "This isn't fair. The rest of the world today is eating turkey with all the trimmings, and all I get is dog food because I'm a dog." And he stopped, and he thought about that for a minute, stared at his dog food, he stared at his bowl full of food, and then he said, "Well, it could be worse. I guess I could be a turkey." You know, it's a whole lot easier and more natural for us to complain than it is for us to be thankful. But I'm glad this morning that being thankful is a decision that we all can make with God's help. The Apostle Paul here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, exhorts us and admonishes us here in these verses to, in everything, give thanks. The Bible says this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's not God's will for us to grumble and complain. It's not God's will for us to be dissatisfied or discontent about this and that. God's will for us is that we would give thanks in everything for the good as well as the bad. God wants us to be thankful. God wants us to be full of gratitude. If there was one person in the Bible who had a right to complain, it was the Apostle Paul. Paul had gone through some things. He had experienced some trials and difficulties in his life. The Bible tells us a little bit about what he had gone through in his life and in his ministry and 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Let's turn back there and look at what Paul went through. I mean, if anybody had a right to complain and to murmur and to grumble and to gripe, it was the Apostle Paul, especially when you read about some of the things that he went through, some of the things that he suffered during his ministry. 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, and in verse 23, don't lose your place in 1 Thessalonians, but 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, the Bible says, "Are they ministers of Christ?" This is Paul writing. "I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." You think you got it bad? The Apostle Paul had it a whole lot worse than you've got it, amen? He was whipped multiple times, imprisoned multiple times, beaten multiple times, stoned, shipwrecked multiple times, robbed and persecuted oft. And I tell you what, Paul had it pretty rough at times, but you know, we never hear about him complaining. We never hear Paul complaining about the things that he was going through. Why is that? Because Paul had made up his mind that he was going to give thanks in all things. In fact, no other New Testament writer gives thanks more than the Apostle Paul. He was always thanking God for something. No matter how bad things were, he always found something to be thankful for. What an example Paul is to other Christians, to us today. What an example Paul is to us in the area of thankfulness. Paul wasn't a bellyacher. Paul was a thanksgiver. He gave thanks for all things. And I believe God wants us to be thanksgivers too. Amen? There are plenty of bellyachers out there. The world is full of complainers, murmurers, grumblers, and gripers. And we don't need any more of those. We need more today. We need more today of thanksgivers, people who are truly thankful for what God has done in their lives and are not ashamed to say it. Instead of looking for things to complain about this Thanksgiving, let's look at some things we can be thankful for. Amen? I'm sure there are numerous things we could think of to be thankful for this morning, but for the sake of time, I'm going to mention just 3. What should we decide to be thankful for this morning? What should be at the top of our list? Well, first of all, I believe God would have us to be thankful for other Christians. For other Christians. Some of you look like you stepped out in something in the parking lot. I said, I think God would have us to be thankful for other Christians. Amen?
Amen.
Say, oh, preacher, you mean God wants me to be thankful for him? God wants me to be thankful for her? God wants me to be thankful for them? You're ruining my appetite, Pastor. So that's pretty rough. I don't know if I can be thankful for that person or those persons. Yes, you can, if you choose to be. You can choose not to be, and you can be miserable. Or you can choose to be thankful for other Christians, and you can be happy, and you can be blessed. Paul was grateful to God for other Christians. Paul was thankful for God's people. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, or chapter 1, and verses 2 and 3. Paul begins this epistle by saying in verse 2, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Paul's life revolved around others. Paul's work revolved around others. Paul's life ministry revolved around others. He told others about Jesus. He established churches. He discipled believers. He trained pastors. Paul had invested his life in the lives of other people, and he was thankful to God for other Christians and for the work that God was doing in their lives. If Paul's life and ministry would have revolved around Paul, he would not have been the thankful person that he was. The most miserable people you will ever meet are people whose lives revolve around themselves. Paul could have focused on himself, but instead he chose to focus on others. He made a decision that he was going to focus on others. And in these verses, he gives thanks to God for the Christians at Thessalonica. He gave thanks for their work of faith in verse 3. I'm thankful this morning for the work of God, for the work of faith that God is doing in the lives of those of you who are here this morning. I mean, I'm excited about what God is doing in your life. I enjoy hearing the testimonies. I love hearing about the work that God is doing in the lives of other Christians. I'm thankful that there's a group of old-fashioned Christians here in Barrow who still believe the Bible, who still love the Lord, and who still want to please Him with their lives. I'm glad I'm not the only one, amen? By the way, this isn't the only good church here in Alaska. There are still some Bible-preaching churches across this state and in this country and around the world that are standing for what's right. We ought to thank God for them. We're not alone, amen? We're not alone in this thing. We're all in this thing together, amen? Paul was thankful for other Christians. He not only gave thanks for the work of faith that God was doing in the lives of His people, of the believers there in Thessalonica, he also was thankful for their labor of love in verse 3. Paul was thankful for believers who labored with him in the ministry because of their love for God and their love for others. True love always labors. And I'm thankful this morning for those of you who have labored with me in the last couple of years here in Barrow. I'm thankful for those of you who have helped in the different ministries of the church and preaching and teaching and praying and giving and witnessing and singing and encouraging and helping and cooking and cleaning and plowing and fixing the things that I break, amen? I know it's a labor of love. And I thank God for each of you this morning. I want you all to know that I count it a special privilege and honor to be able to labor together with you in the furtherance of the gospel here in Barrow, Alaska. Thank God for all of you. Not only was Paul thankful for the labor of love, but we read on in verse 3, into chapter 2, and we find that Paul was thankful that they had tender hearts to receive the word. Look in chapter 2 and verse 13. Chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul writes, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." I am thankful this morning for Christians with soft hearts. Christians who are sensitive to the Spirit. Christians who respond in a positive way to Bible preaching. It sure makes my job a whole lot easier. I know I'm not the best preacher. I know I'm not very eloquent. In fact, I was trying to find that word to spell it. I'm trying to figure out how to spell that word. I can't even spell it. I'm not very eloquent. And I'm not the easiest preacher to listen to, and yeah, I'm not the easiest preacher to look at either, but I'm sure thankful for those of you who come week after week and service after service to hear preaching. And I know it's not because of me. You don't come to hear what I have to say. You come because you love this book and you want to hear from God. And I appreciate that. When Paul preached to the Christians at Thessalonica, or when he was writing them letters, or when he wrote them epistles of instruction to them, they believed that he was God's human instrument, that God was speaking through him, and they received his words not as the words of a man, they received his words as the words of God. And Paul was thankful for their tenderness to receive the truth. You may not like me, You may not think I'm the best preacher. You may think I'm the worst preacher you've ever heard. You may think my jokes are dumb most of the time that they are. But you laugh anyway. I'm thankful for that. Thank you for that. And that's fine. I mean, I know I'm not the greatest preacher. I know I have a hard time with speaking in front of people. But you know, you can look at my faults and you can look at my inadequacies to preach the gospel, and you can focus on that, or you can come on Sunday and you can come open with a soft heart to receive the message God has for you, and you might just get something out of the preaching. Amen. You might just get something out of the preaching. No preacher enjoys preaching to hard-hearted people. No preacher enjoys preaching to people who are easily offended. You know, Paul, he wasn't a soft-spoken preacher. He wasn't the greatest preacher. He didn't preach in the wisdom of men. He said, "I believe the foolishness of preaching is what God has chosen to save them which believe." But, you know, Paul was an old-fashioned preacher. He was a sin-killing, devil-hating preacher, and he didn't walk on eggshells. I mean, he let the people know what God said. He said, "Thus saith the Lord." He didn't walk on no eggshells, and he preached the word straight. And he was thankful for the Christians in Thessalonica because their hearts were tender to receive the message. And I'm truly thankful this morning for those of you who come service after service with a soft and an open heart to receive the message. I am thankful for that. There's something else Paul gave thanks for in verse 3, and that was their hope in the Lord. In verse 3, Paul mentions that, their hope in the Lord. Paul was encouraged by these Christians' hope in the Lord. And as Christians, we can always have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We can always have hope that God is in control and that God knows the way that we take. God knows no matter what we're going through, He knows what we're going through. And we can be patient in every trial knowing that God is going to work all things together for good. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Listen, God loves His people. God loves you here today, and His thoughts towards you are not evil, they're good. He has a plan for your life, and we can choose to be thankful this morning because our hope is not in a man, our hope is not in a church, our hope is in Christ. I'm thankful this morning for other Christians. I am truly thankful for you this morning. I want to encourage you to be thankful for one another today. But I know sometimes people disappoint us. I know sometimes people have the tendency to let us down. That's just human nature. And that's why we need to keep our eyes upon Jesus. Because He'll never disappoint us. He'll never let us down. I believe every believer should always give thanks for other Christians. And then secondly, I believe every believer should decide this morning that they're going to be thankful for God's care. Philippians chapter 1. Let's turn there. Philippians chapter 1. Paul writes, in verses 3 and 4, he says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy." Paul wrote the book of Philippians while he was in prison. Paul's in a prison cell as he is writing this epistle. And I don't know, I've never been to prison. Amen. Some of you might know, you can relate to this, but I've never been to prison. I remember once my mom and dad, we were in Idaho, and they took us to an old 1800s prison where they kept criminals, murderers, and whatnot there. And I remember going into that prison. I don't know what my parents were trying to do. Maybe they're trying to scare me or scare us into, you know, out of a life of crime. Amen. Well, it worked. We walked down the halls of this prison, and it was dark and cold in there, and there was rats and stuff running around, and it was just it was a terrible experience. I wanted to get out of that place. I did not want to stay in that place. We looked in some of the cells that they kept those prisoners in back in the 1800s, and just little small stone cells with no windows, and it was filthy in there, and I just remember thinking, I don't ever want to go to a prison. I don't ever want to be put in prison. I like my freedom, and I don't ever want to go to a place like that. Well, Paul was in a prison while he was writing this book, this Philippians epistle. And Paul was he was in this prison, and he was probably he had some cellmates, the rats that he had running around, and he was probably in sewage up to his armpits, and he's writing this epistle, and the theme of this epistle is not discouragement, it's not being down. I mean, you read this epistle, and Paul doesn't say anything about being discouraged. He talks about the joy of the Lord. He talks about rejoicing. He talks about being thankful. Paul's writing this in a prison cell. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wow. Think about that, being in a prison, being in a prison cell. Paul's persecuted for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul being suffering for his faith, and yet Paul was thankful for God's care. And he was able to rejoice when he was going through trials in his life because he believed that God was able to provide for him no matter what the circumstances and no matter how great the need. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 10 through 13. The Bible says there, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And I know how to be abased and how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul is saying, listen, I can go through anything because Christ is my strength. He will help me through it. Paul simply believed that God had the power to take care of him. He had watched God provide for him time after time. And that's why he was able to say with confidence in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm thankful this morning that my God is able to provide for my every need. My every need in this life, God is powerful to provide for. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. And I'm thankful this morning for His care. I'm thankful this morning for other Christians. Amen. But more than anything else, I'm thankful this morning for Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ. I believe every Christian should decide this holiday season to be thankful for Christ, especially when we think about all that He's done for us, especially when we think about where we would be today if it was not for Him. Where would we be today without Him in our lives? Where would we be today if it wasn't for Christ's sacrifice on Calvary? Amen? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 26, He came to put away our sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Jesus Christ was God's sacrificial lamb. He was God's sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God sent to take away the sin of the world. He was offered to bear the sins of many. He willingly took our punishment and paid the penalty for our sin so that we could be forgiven and receive eternal life. And I'm thankful this morning for Christ's sacrifice. Where would we be without it? Where would we be today if it wasn't for Christ's shed blood? Amen. We sang a song this morning, there's power in the blood. Where would we be today without Christ shed blood? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Every drop of blood that Jesus shed as He was beaten, as He was whipped, as He was nailed to the cross, crucified and pierced, every drop of blood that He shed was shed for you and for me. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, but He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Something to get excited about, amen? The blood of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful this morning for the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Where would we be this morning without the blood of Jesus Christ. Where would we be this morning without Christ's salvation, without the salvation that we have in Christ? You know, only Jesus saves. Now, if you're looking for salvation in some other person or in some other place, you're not going to find it. Only Jesus has the power to save. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 12 and in verse 15, the Bible says, wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. I'm thankful this morning for my salvation. I'm thankful this morning that I have Jesus in my heart and that I know where I'm going when I die. I don't have to worry about dying and going to hell. I don't have to worry about waking up in a lake of fire. No, I've got Jesus in my heart. I know where I'm going when I die. And if you don't know today, I want to encourage you to find out for sure, to know for sure where you're going when you die, because that is the most important decision that you could ever make. And if you don't know for sure, we'd like to help you to know. The Bible says you can know. Where would we be this morning without salvation? Where would we be this morning without Christ's shed blood? Where would we be this morning without His sacrifice? Where would we be this morning without the promise of His soon return? Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I'm glad this morning that I serve a risen Savior. Amen. He said in John chapter 14, verse 3, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'm glad one day I'm going to see my Savior face to face. I'm going to see the nail prints in His hands. Amen. I'm going to see Jesus face to face, and I'll be able to thank Him in person for saving my soul. I'm looking forward to the day when Jesus returns. Are you looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ this morning? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in verse 13, the Bible says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm thankful this morning for the promise of Christ's soon return. I have a hope laid up in heaven for me this morning. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where I'll never grow old. And I'm going to Beulah land to live with Jesus for all eternity. And there's nothing the devil can do about it. There's nothing he can do about it. I'm safe, I'm secure in Christ today. And if you're saved, this morning, if you're secure in Christ, you have a lot to be thankful to God for, amen? I'm just getting started. And I gotta close. I'm just getting started and I gotta close. But you know what? You might as well start thanking God now today for all that He's done for you. Because that's what you're going to be doing in heaven. When you get there, you're going to be thanking Him again and again and again for all eternity while the ages roll. My mind's made up this morning. I'm going to be a thanksgiver. I'm not going to be a bellyacher, amen. I'm going to be a thanksgiver. I'm going to choose to live a thankful life. See, being thankful is a decision. Why don't we all just decide today that we're going to give thanks in everything? Let's stand to our feet. We're going to close this morning in a word of prayer. And then we're going to have a song of invitation. 597. 597 in your hymnal. Maybe God's spoken to your heart this morning about being thankful. Maybe you've been bellyaching a little bit. Maybe you need to stop and just start giving thanks. What is it that God's spoken to your heart about? Maybe God said, you know what, you need to be thankful for your brother and sister in Christ. Well, we need to be thankful for other Christians. Does the person sitting next to you in the chair this morning know that you're thankful for them? Have you told them how thankful you are that they're here? What a blessing that they've been to you, what an encouragement that they've been to you. So that's hard to do, preacher. Well, hey, it's a decision. We must choose to be thankful. Are you thankful for God's care this morning? When was the last time you just thanked God for His blessings on your life? What about Christ? Where would we be without Jesus Christ? Where would we be without His sacrifice, His shed blood? When was the last time you just got alone with God and said, thank you, Lord, for saving me? Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul, sacrificing your life on the cross for me. 597, we're going to sing, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. If God's spoken to your heart, why don't you respond? Why don't you come forward and pray? If you need to be saved, if you've never been saved, I want to encourage you to come forward and get that matter settled right now today. Don't put it off. We can show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven. Let's sing 597, Take My Life and Let It Be. And if God's spoken to your heart, why don't you come? Gary Carlson, would you close the service this morning in prayer for us today? Amen. You're all dismissed, and don't feel like you have to run off. There's some food and some soup back there if you're able to stay in fellowship. God bless you all. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.